Hey, everybody. We have a sponsor here at Jiu-Jitsu Geeks. It is Avid Gamer Wear, a gaming brand, lifestyle brand for gamers. Y'all play games, don't you? Brian, Aaron?
I love games.
Games are my favorite thing.
Aaron?
Every day.
Every day. That was forced. That was forced. Hey, check them out at AvidGamerWear.com or at Instagram at AvidGamerWear. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Just to let you guys know, Hansel Grace loves the Jiu-Jitsu Geeks. Extending control. A buckle and bump, redirect
your force. Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Jiu-Jitsu Geeks podcast. I am one of your hosts, Brian, and with me, as usual, is ET. Aaron's not here, and we miss him, but we're going to talk about him.
About him.
And without him. Yeah. So let's get to it.
We don't need him for a conversation.
No, we don't. We're fine. We're fine on our own. We don't need Aaron and his perfect hair.
No. Flawless skin.
His hair.
He really is an Adonis.
Oh, he is. He's a dime piece.
He's a dime piece.
Anyways, is that where a dime piece came from? Was Adonis?
Oh, it's close. I don't know.
All right.
Anyway, we're sitting here. We're about to have a class in about an hour. So we thought we would knock out a podcast. So much to talk about. The first thing I'm going to say right off the bat, non-jiu-jitsu related.
Okay.
I need to move out of my neighborhood.
Why?
Because coming here, I live like 2 blocks from here.
Uh-huh.
Coming here, yeah. I ran into, first it was old man with glasses sitting in a truck for no reason. I mean, just shifty old neighborhood type shit.
Uh-huh.
Then like middle-aged man riding a bicycle through the neighborhood angrily.
Oh, boy.
And then woman crying on the front porch of her house. I'm not
shitting
you.
This is your neighborhood?
This is the neighborhood behind. Yes. I went through. I was like, what the hell kind of Grand Theft Auto neighborhood am I
riding through? I was going to say, you're, are you in the neighborhood from Friday?
It sounds like it. I gotta move. And I'm so sad because I live so close to here.
Yeah, it is.
I'm thinking of the way.
It sounds like it's sad also because it sounds like a sad neighborhood.
It's a sad neighborhood.
But that's more reason to keep your training up because it sounds like you're going to.
I'm going
to need it. If you go for a walk outside of your property line, you're probably going to have to defend yourself in order to get back to safety.
My electricity went off last night at like 1:30.
Did it really?
Yeah, and I told you probably about a week before somebody broke into my neighbor's house.
No.
Well, they broke into the house, but it's an empty house because somebody moves in like the 31st. I've got, there's like a transition.
Sure.
The realtor has that stupid sale pending sign out in front of the house, so it tells the world nobody's living there. So they broke in and they stole the whole AC unit. And they stole
From the basement or something, right?
Well, they went under the house in the crawl space and took all the copper piping in the middle of the night.
God.
So last night, my electricity went off. And the first thing I think is
someone's stealing your electricity.
Somebody's stealing my electricity.
Someone stole all your wires.
Right.
Your wireless.
Well, I don't think, oh man, somebody hit a power line, a meter, whatever the fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh shit.
You go worst case scenario. You think Electro's outside sucking up electricity through his hands, or you gotta grab a samurai sword and stop somebody.
I think there's a Ginsu going into my son's chest cavity.
Yeah.
That's definitely the worst case scenario. Yes.
Or like the Walking Dead phenomenon has happened and the world's just gone to shit.
Yeah.
Huh.
That's what I think. Anyway.
Oh, okay.
That's just a side note about my life.
Okay. Well, that is bleak. You paint a bleak picture. Yeah. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're safe.
Yep. That's the only thing I got in life. So what are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about the few characters you meet in jiu-jitsu. Because you meet a lot of interesting people on the mats.
Archetypes. Stereotypes.
Right.
You got a few.
Right. You do have a few. And we've trained for long enough. There's not too many we haven't met at this point.
That's true. Everybody does seem to fall into a certain category.
Yeah, and we're getting doubles.
We're going through a bit of a membership increase here, and it seems like we're getting some duplicates.
Right.
And some of these, the cards in the deck, you only need one. You don't need, like some of them, you don't need any.
I can give them a few. and it's also based on people we see at tournaments and online, and there's a ton of characters.
God.
The first one is shows up every once in a while guy.
Yeah. This is the guy that I guess he's been affiliated with your academy for years.
Yeah,
he or she.
He or she.
He probably. We'll just say he. We'll use the he. He has been been associated with your academy for years. Maybe at one time trained a bit, to get a basic familiarity with jiu-jitsu, your academy, and the
people know
in
his
it.
Name a little
people,
bit.
People know this guy's name, but then he stops for whatever reason, and that what was once a open water spigot of training
just
time
drip,
just an annoying, you know.
Right.
Trickle every once in a while.
It's like the Halley's Comet of a training partner. Yeah, yeah, it's like, you know, every, you know, he's coming back in at some point, you yeah. know, but it's not going to be too frequent.
Bonus points if this person, as soon as they train or as soon as they leave, checks into your academy on Facebook or Foursquare or gives a shout out on Twitter or social media of some kind.
Right.
Yeah, I'm back. Had a good training. Blah, blah, blah.
Hey, everybody that doesn't know that I buy attendance is shitty.
Yeah.
I was back at the academy. So it gives the illusion to everybody that, you know, on his friends list that doesn't know he trains that, hey, I'm still doing this. I'm still doing this.
So they think he's been training consistently the whole time.
They think he's a killer.
Yeah. When... Yeah, we've got a few like that here.
We've known a few over the years. We've seen them. We've met them.
And it's funny because they're fun when they come in, because now being a brown belt, I can come in and, like, you know, come here. And I'll take one of the, like, new white belts on my arm. And, like, you see that guy over there? You know, he and I started training the same month.
Yep.
He's a blue belt with no stripes, and I am a brown belt. How does that happen, Brian? Like, wide-eyed. Like,
wide-eyed.
He doesn't train Bobby, you know, or whatever.
It's the same as, like, you know, taking your son down to the train yard. I mean, like, you see what happens when you try marijuana once?
Turns you gay. And makes you work in the train yard.
Hobo. But, yeah, that guy or those guys, you see everyone.
That guy.
People just lap them in rank and skill.
Yeah.
And... It's got to be frustrating.
And after a while, that might be why their attendance falls off. Because they realize they've been lapped so many times, they can't handle coming back in. And, oh, this person, they used to be able to hang with them. They started before them. They used to beat them. And now, all of a sudden, like, they haven't been training. They're struggling getting through the warm-ups, huffing and puffing. And they're no match for anybody.
This is a performance art, man. If you can't – you got to do this consistently or you're not going to you know, stay in your pecking order. It's going to be rearranged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And they are falling way down the ladder.
Who else do we have? Oh, we have I can't make it to warm-ups guy.
Oh, God. This is my least favorite guy.
Is it really?
This is my least favorite of these people.
Of the people,
These people. Yeah. Characteristics of this person include not coming to warm-ups.
Yeah.
Or getting in and taking their time. Getting ready, so they just finished the last lap or the last burpee or the last shrimp drill. Oh, now I'm ready.
Now I'm ready.
Now they're walking out of the back.
My tricky belt couldn't get it tied.
Oh, you couldn't get your belt tied, huh? That is tricky.
Goes
usually takes me
twice,
6 to 8 minutes.
Goes around twice. It's once up here. I don't know.
Oh,
I'm
man,
starting over.
Yep.
Is it not the same length? I got to find the middle of this belt again.
Yeah. And what kind of knot is this? Is this a Windsor?
I gotta look this up on my smartphone. No reception. I'm going outside. Hold on.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, speaking of reception, cell phones, they'll stand outside and talk on their phone or maybe hang out in their car for a bit. We've had a couple people like this over the years, and I'm sure every academy does, and I don't think it's appreciated anywhere.
Who did that really funny video of the dude that comes in after everybody's rolled?
Was that Machado?
I think so.
Yeah, one of the
Machado's sons.
Is it John? Is his name John?
I guess so. But it's so funny. It's just right on the mark.
Yeah.
And we've seen that so many times.
Yeah, that's really like, and what that does for those of you that are new, or maybe you're lucky enough not to have this person in the academy, is you're tired, and you know the way our classes here are structured. We've got a Muay Thai class, and then Jiu-Jitsu right after, and I sometimes do both.
Yeah.
And even if you don't do both, you know, sometimes jiu-jitsu warm-ups, depending on who runs them, if, you know, Chuck, one of our black belts, runs them, you're in for a horrible warm-up. Like,
right.
you better, you know, pack your defibrillator, because it's going to be bad news.
You still carry that around with you?
I do, everywhere.
Yeah.
It's a conditioning, T. Leave me alone about it. All right, or if you do Muay Thai and then jiu-jitsu, you've already gone for an hour of Muay Thai, and then maybe another, 15 minutes of warm-up or something like, or technique, depending on when the person finally decides to show up.
And you worked all day.
And you worked all day, blah, blah, blah. You're exhausted, and everyone else around you is in an equal exhaustion level, more or less.
Mats look glossy from the water.
Sloppy, disgusting, you know. And then this person rolls in, and they're fresh, they're bouncing around, like, hey, guys! Like, and there's just a collective, like, fuck you, man.
Like, well, you know, you have to build that team atmosphere in jiu-jitsu in a dojo, and if you're not participating in all the aspects of your training, mm-hmm. are you really helping the team out?
Yeah, exactly. You're right. I think about that a lot. In the Friday class that I helped Chris out with, the jiu-jitsu is an individual sport, but you train as a team. You can't get better on
your own. No, you need your training partners.
You need your training partners. You need to be able to push each other, and that's always what I yell out when I start the timer for drills or whatever. You know, push each other, guys. You know, and I want – you know, everybody wants people to – you want people – in a way, you don't want people to get better because you still want to be able to beat them. Right. You want it to be easy. Yeah. But more if you get the – if you're really concerned with getting better, you do want people to get better because that makes you better, yeah. you know? And to be better, you need to get your ass to warm-ups.
Right.
Because you need to be in shape, you
true,
know?
True, true.
And that's – it'll cost you. Like, yeah, you might have more energy to roll, but you won't have more energy to roll because you don't do warm-ups on a regular basis. You're not going to have exercise as much. You're not right. going to be as good a shape. It kind of is like a Robin Peter to pay Paul sort of thing. Like, oh, I have more energy to roll. Yeah, but these guys have a larger gas tank overall because they do.
And the toolbox is getting so much bigger too. Yeah, you know, you're situational mm-hmm. and you do, you know, and yeah, that's really not a cool thing to. That's really not the cool thing to fall into. But those people do exist and they're out there. And
yeah, if you're one of them, get to class on time, guys. You have been warned. Maybe no one in your academy says anything. We'll say it for them. Not cool,
Brian.
People,
hates it.
Fucking hate it. And I mean, it just doesn't look good. So that's enough on that. Just don't do it. Just don't do it.
How about the person that comes in and instantly.
Oh, I hate that guy.
No, let me get to it.
Oh.
And instantly wants to be everybody's friend without knowing anybody in the academy.
Oh, you know me so well. You know the people. You're like, hey, what about this guy?
Well, here's the thing is I'm kind of hard to know. And I think you're that way too. It's like we're both kind
of
like.
I'm a man of mystery.
We're both. Yeah. No, we're both just prickly. Prickly pricks.
Prickly pears.
Prickly pears. And we both don't really have the. We don't really have super outgoing personalities.
I'm not the most outgoing guy.
No. Okay. So if you come up to me and you want to be my buddy within 10 minutes. In any situation, I don't care if it's at work, at mm-hmm. a family reunion, I don't care if I am in a burning building, just, if I don't know you, don't come up to me.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're trying to tell me where the exit is.
Hey, firefighter, I got this on my own.
Smoking the bear. Yeah, I just, you know, just, hey, hang around, get to know a few personalities. Jiu-jitsu mm-hmm. is a very up-close and personal art,
mm-hmm.
so you don't intrude on anybody's personal space before you roll with them, because they might lay a hurting on you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, or they're, like, emotional personal space.
Yeah.
You mean, yeah, like, yeah, it's, we got, what was I trying to say? Yeah, that I'm with you on this one for sure. The person that comes in, and maybe they trained before, maybe they didn't, they're just outgoing. You want to be outgoing? That's great. There's a way to be outgoing and still acknowledge or be cognizant of, I'm the new guy. I actually don't know any of you.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to make any jokes at your expense.
Yeah, don't make jokes at my expense. If this is your first day on the mat,
yeah.
just shut the fuck up.
That choke I'm holding may go a little long.
Yeah, I might crank on that Americana an extra centimeter or two before I let go. Like, yeah, I mean, not seriously. I'm not trying to hurt anybody, but yeah, it's odd because that's not what I'm like, and that's not what that you're like.
No,
as well.
Not at all.
But the great thing about jiu-jitsu is there's so many different types of personalities. Like, I love, you know, pretty much everybody we train with is great.
Yeah.
You know,
but known them for years.
Yeah, you've known them for years. And even there have been new additions that come in and are very cognizant of the fact that they're new, and they, if they're new to the art, I like it when they come in and they just ask questions and they just be
they
quiet.
Just do what you
they
say.
Just be quiet, you know, and just do what you tell them to do or ask them to do. I mean, you know, like you're there, they're there to learn, and you know, upper belts are there to help them out. Don't come in if you're brand new or haven't been training that long and start talking about all the gear that you own or all the.
Well, that goes into the next one is
yeah.
new guy who just started training who has a shit ton of gear. And photos of himself on Facebook, and he looks like he just meddled at the Mundi Isles based off of just, you know, the way he presents himself.
Yeah.
But seriously, he's got maybe one strike on himself. And hey, man, you know what? Maybe if you were to look at the way the companies that make money are apparel companies and kimono companies. Maybe that's their bread and butter.
It is their bread and butter. I'd put money on
that. So we need those. Maybe they're the guys who found our podcast.
Uh-oh. Oh, hey, guys. Man.
Hey.
What's up, everybody?
But there are a lot of guys like that.
Where's the off button?
No. Yeah. No, we're not editing this. There are a lot of guys like that.
Yeah, yeah. And everybody likes gear. Everybody likes, you know, the choking hazard rash guards. I saw those. The reason I bring this up, I saw those today on BJJ HQ. They have they have ranked ones now.
Do they really?
Yeah. They're probably all gone.
Already. Well, yeah. if you get like that jiu-jitsu tattoo within your first like 3 months of training, that's like BJJ for life.
Yeah, like you're in it now.
Yeah.
Like you almost gotta keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw a guy in a restaurant not that long ago who had a jiu-jitsu shirt on. And I asked him about it, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I don't train anymore." He said he used to. I may have told that story on an earlier podcast. It sounds like I may have. Sounds familiar. But yeah, that you got the guys that like the gear, but maybe don't like the training as much,
right?
You know.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, so on the flip side, what are the good personalities that you run into?
We're finished the bad ones. What about the guy that goes home to just his cat? What about that guy goes to the apartment just his cat?
That's a sad state of affairs.
It is. It is.
Yeah, I'm gonna go home now to just my cat.
Oh.
Yeah, you're talking about
shit.
Me, aren't you?
Oh, well, I didn't know I was, but
jerk.
How's Ben Franklin doing?
He's fine. Thanks for asking.
He's in meow.
Follow him on Instagram.
Or the people, what about the character, good or bad, that comes in and they are just dedicated to the art from minute one, and you see them constantly for 5 months, and you got to wait, when is that going to end?
Oh yeah, that's a good...
new fang person.
That's a good example. You got those addictive personality types,
yeah.
that they just latch onto it and they love it. And that's fine. I wasn't really like that. I actually didn't train like a ton when I first started. I wasn't
very... You
did
your feet in the water.
Because I was commuting. I lived at my parents' house, which is about 60 miles away from the academy. So yeah. I wasn't trying to hang out after work and train and stuff. So
I did that for years. It sucks.
It's miserable. Yeah. I mean, that's just a miserable commute overall. But, so I didn't really jump in for a while with both feet, but yeah, they all of a sudden they're just here every class. Maybe they don't have anything else going on in their life. I'm pointing to myself right now.
Maybe they got a downward spiral, and this is what fills that ex boyfriend or girlfriend or that job they lost, whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
But you're right, that addictive personality where they're here like constantly, and we've seen this, and I know people that have done this. They're in jiu-jitsu for like a hardcore for like a year and a half, mm-hmm. and then bam, they're gone for another activity. They're hardcore at like inline skating. I can only do this once.
Yeah,
you know, it's like what? Yeah. How you were, you know, on your way to blue? Or you just got your blue belt or whatever it is.
Blue belt's the drop off, man.
Yeah,
yeah. How many people have we lost at blue belt? I think that's probably the most common place to most common point in time to lose that. But yeah, they really dive in, and then maybe they're really excited and think, I'm going to go into this with like a full head of steam, and I'm just going to wreck this fucking place. You know,
right.
I mean, I'm going to be a black belt. BJ Penn, move over.
Yeah. They close their eyes at night after the first class and they see themselves on a podium.
Yeah. Yeah. Holding up a medal. And maybe they got a lot of physical ability, to go along with that, that ambition. And that's great, I guess.
But you're going to hit
that.
You're going to hit a reality.
You're going to hit that reality check. And maybe it's
a year in?
Maybe it's a year in. Maybe it's 5 months in. Or maybe it's when you get your blue belt, like we were just saying. But all of a sudden, you're like, God, I'm still getting, like, destroyed. Or I can't even keep my guard closed for more than 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Something like that. And I've been really training hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to jiu-jitsu. It will get easier, but it won't.
Well, the momentum of jiu-jitsu when you first start is everything is upward. You're just starting to learn everything. It's all upward, and you're going to get to that first plateau, and some people just can't handle that first plateau of, okay, well, I know some of the basics, mm-hmm. but I can't – just knowing them was great at one point, now I can't perform them the way I want to.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I can, mm-hmm. you know, and that's that's devastating,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, or maybe they get to their belt, or they get some stripes, and they're like, this is – they look back on, you know, oh, I've been here every day or all the time, and
I can get a strike every 2 weeks.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Or now I have this belt, and there's more belts after this?
Yeah. Like, this took a lot to get. What the hell?
I'm exhausted now. Like, or maybe that's enough. They learn what they wanted to learn, or, you know, people's interests change or something. I don't really understand how they can do that with jiu-jitsu, because most of the people that we know that we train with here, we have a great academy, and like, they're all like, they're in it to get black belts. They're in it to, you know, not necessarily be like world champions or anything like that, but people train a lot. Like, I see these people a lot, you know, all the time, you know, multiple times a week, a lot of them.
You see them more than you see certain members of your family. Like,
oh,
your brother.
I see them when I see any member of my family, except for Benjamin Franklin.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, shut your mouth.
I birthed him out of my anus.
Ugh. All right. So it's good to be surrounded by people that want to, you know, you see those memes of, like, you know, lions run together or whatever like that. It's good to be surrounded by people like that, the good personality types that are willing to take it easy on you when you have an injury. Like, hey, I still want to come in and train, but, you know, I just, like, broke my ankle and I'm just getting back on the mats. I can't go super hard. Or, you know, they are willing to take a round to, hey, just help me drill this cross collar escape, or let's drill something else instead. Or you want to work some takedowns, or you just want to flow.
Yeah.
You know, this is my second or third training session of the day. It's great being able to train with people like that. Or the ones that would be like, hey, you know, let me, for instance, I've used this example before. I haven't done it recently, but one of our black belts, Dave, has a really great guard, and I'll put myself in the guard.
Yeah.
Hey, let me pass your guard. Let me try to pass your guard.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work a lot of times.
Yeah.
But he's willing to do it, and that's great.
He gets you better.
And he gets them better, too. I think, unless it's some move where they're just – where it's just you doing it. Guard passing is a two-way thing. You know, you're working their guard, or they're working the guard. You're working to pass it. So it's a reactive thing for both people. But, training with people like that, that's who you want. Out of all these personalities, you want the people that are – dedicated and, you know, and cool to work with, and also are also willing to just, hey, you know, we're both feeling good tonight, let's blow
let's
it
go
out.
At it.
let's go hard and just, you know, leave it on the mat. That's great too, having people that you know can push you mentally and physically and your technique as well, that know your game and want to help you get better, and because they're trying to get better too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So
yeah, it's a big old dojo stew out there.
It's a jambalaya. Jiu-jitsu jambalaya.
Training partners.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, we're kind of, you know, you do, it's hard not to stick to your own in jiu-jitsu, because you make friends that you're friends with outside of the academy, and you just kind of gravitate, and some people you just don't talk to as much.
Mm-hmm.
Are you like that?
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to be friends, quote unquote, with every training partner. You're going to have friends, and you're going to have training partners, yeah.
Right.
That's going to be just how it is. Like, you are my training partner. You know, Aaron's my friend.
Oh, goddamn!
Yeah.
Ouch. Ouch. You had to give me the bird while you said that.
I mean, it's almost not possible to be like best friends with everybody. It's just like in life. Like, you can't be best friends with everybody, or even good friends, close friends with everybody. You got people like, hey, what's up, man? And you got people that, you know, you went to their wedding, or you've met their, you know, family, or, you know, you go out and watch the fights with them, or you watch Metamoris or whatever. Yeah, you got those people too. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Because if anything, maybe that leaves some, you don't want to know everybody super well, because it's almost kind of boring. Like, I want to come in and, you know, have a little bit deeper conversation with someone that I don't know as well, and find out, oh, you know, so and so likes to skateboard, or they do this or whatever. So that's fine too, and that's the good part about having new people in. You get to meet new folks, and they get to get to know you too.
All right. Well, shifting gears, so we're not just a one topic on this.
Mm-hmm.
What are you currently working on?
What am I currently working on? I was actually working on an article about this last night for the blog. Start trying to post on that more. Just trying to work some of the quote unquote, like the darker areas of jiu-jitsu. Like, think of jiu-jitsu as like a big room that you gotta, you know, there's a bunch of, you know, light bulbs from chains hanging from the ceiling. You gotta, you know, the stuff that you're good at, those lights are on, you know.
Yeah.
But you got all these other areas that, you know, it's kind of dim or there's no light there at all. You got to go over there and, you know, turn the light on.
This is a mediocre analogy. This is no way you're putting – you have not written this into the blog because this is very mediocre.
No, I haven't yet. So it needs work.
No, keep going.
It's like
very good.
A stew.
Like a stew, yeah.
And you gotta, you gotta turn those lights on in the areas that, maybe it's a brand new tech, worm guard, dark area, you know.
Right.
For me, De La Riva, reverse De La Riva, well, things like that are just areas, not like, oh, that's bad. It's just stuff that I don't do, and I'm trying to identify some of those areas and work on them. One of them was half guard. I worked on that for several months, and now I'm actually trying to work butterfly guard.
Well, do you think some of these darker areas of jiu-jitsu are for the, if you were to take the population of jiu-jitsu, lower percentage moves, like you say, worm guard, that's a low percentage guard for success of catching somebody or getting that. Is that what you think is a dark?
Not necessarily, no.
Okay.
I mean, for me, like I just said, it was half guard and butterfly guard. Those are two pretty common areas. It didn't really form earlier into my jiu-jitsu career. I'm getting a call from Los Angeles. That's weird.
It's nobody good.
No, probably not. Cease and desist again. yeah, it's just stuff that, like, my jiu-jitsu didn't really take form in that way right now. It's more, you know, a closed guard, or I don't even know what my game used to be. It was just terrible. And it's not much better now.
Right.
So now I'm trying to, butterfly guard, I'm really digging, actually, because it seems to be easier to sweep. You're not as locked down as you could possibly be, and the closed guard against a good guy that knows what your attacks are from closed guard or knows how to handle a closed guard, it could be be a long road to get the sweep or submission from closed guard.
Butterfly guard is something that I'm being forced to do from people that shut down my open guard, which is my favorite guard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People shut it down. Mm-hmm. Oh shit! Well, now I can transition to a butterfly guard. So now I'm kind of forced to think about that too. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's good because if they pass it to one side or the other, I can roll right into half guard, which is something I'm still trying to work on.
Right.
So it's kind of an easy two dots to connect.
Right.
And the great thing about butterfly, just getting on this topic for a second, is like everything, with these other guards, your arms and legs can potentially, like open guards, for example, can potentially be really stretched out.
Right.
Which means you got to reach across maybe to get a lapel or back down to get a pant leg or something.
Right.
Butterfly guard, everything's compact right in front of you. Like
You're not stretching yourself out.
Everything, you're just going, if you guys could see me, it's just like going from, sitting on one hip to sitting on the other hip. Everything's right there. It's convenient, like right at your fingertips, what you need. Work ski and no-gi. Like I just got a membership a couple months ago to Marcelo's paid university thing online, MG in Action. It's awesome. And butterfly, and watching a lot of footage of him, that's his whole game. He starts out that way. He just sits down, and he has so many variations of the butterfly, just the basic hook sweep. My gosh, it's great. And people know that I'm starting to do that now, so they're starting to try to figure out how to shut it down, and that makes me better too. Something else I'm trying to work on is I've been drilling it with you mostly, just Birambolo.
Right.
Like that's like butterfly guard was like the practical thing. Like Birambolo is like something we always use as an example of like, oh, this advanced technique, it's way out there. That's not part of my game. It's not part of my game. I don't invert. But you know what? Fuck it. Like I might as well try it. I'm a fucking brown belt. I might as well go out there and just get 5 minutes or 10 minutes.
Make
and
it
just
so
drill.
It's not make it so it's not mysterious or not. Yeah. Just get better at it.
Yeah. Like maybe I'll never be like really good at attacking it like Hafa or the Meows, but maybe it'll be so, I'm just joking around or flow rolling, I can do it.
Right.
Or at least I can identify it. Because if someone does that to me, I don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, you're familiar. RT will take you a long way.
Yeah, oh, we're fine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of what I've been working on. Just trying to identify some of those areas and work on them. And those are the two. Birambolo is just I'm doing it just from the basic double guard pull, both seated position. I found This Week in BJJ with Meow Brothers. If you type that into YouTube, at like the last like 5 or 10 minutes is Budo Jake, the Meows, AJ Agazarm, and Majid Hage where they're, the Miaos are going over just the basic Barambolo. Yeah. And I watched it a couple times. This one kind of got me started. I was like, watching them do it and slow and like at like regular like talking through at speed, I was like, it's not as complicated as I thought it would be. It's right. not easy. It's no. not easy for me to. The hard part for me is just like inverting properly because it's just not a natural body movement for me. I don't do that in my jiu-jitsu. But I was like, I can do that. Right, and it's already feeling a little bit smoother than what it was.
Yeah.
Caught it rolling against a white belt. So that's something.
Yes, it is.
I guess. Mm-hmm. Maybe not something worth bragging about on the podcast, but I just did it.
You did it.
So, okay. So what are you working on?
Well, a couple things. Like, you know this. I have like I've talked about here, a back injury that's plagued me for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now we're kind of getting to the root of it, mm-hmm. of what's caused it. It's been like 11 years now. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, my doctor gave me a list of things to strengthen a muscle in my back that spasms. Mm-hmm. I have a nerve damage in my back. There's a muscle mm-hmm. that's, you know, spasming. And a lot of the exercises, like home exercises, it's stuff I could imitate in here mm-hmm. with a partner.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been going over a lot of back takes and mm-hmm. escaping people trying to attack my back, where it feels like there's weight on my back and mm-hmm. I'm trying to stretch my back out, move it around. So long story short, mm-hmm. a lot of back take stuff.
Okay.
The last Friday, in the class that you run, I came in for that,
mm-hmm.
and usually it's not run very well, so I don't come in for it. But I came into that. No, we were doing takedowns.
Yeah,
and I grabbed a white belt who said it was a second class. So I was like, oh, I'll work with this guy. Mm-hmm. He wore a karate uniform.
Yeah, that guy. I told him, I was like, you got to get a jiu-jitsu uniform.
I told him,
like, this will tear apart if I would do real.
Well,
takedowns.
I didn't want to rip his gi.
Yeah.
So on a few takedowns, I was gripping him like no gi.
Underhook.
Well, but before that, I was trying not to rip his gi. So I think I was compensating a lot with muscles I shouldn't have been.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked out of here just in pain.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of led me to the, you know, I need to start strengthening things through here.
Yeah.
So now I'm starting to look at some takedowns that I can use that are a little less reliant on pulling the gi up over your body. Because sometimes when you pull the gi, it feels like if you think of a sack of potatoes,
yeah.
you're pulling that gi mm-hmm. and, or you're pulling that sack and the weight comes after it.
Yeah.
Now I'm starting to think of like no-gi, like wrestler stuff, mm-hmm. where you load the person on your back. A lot of judo is loading stuff mm-hmm. on your back. That load mm-hmm. is a lot easier than the pull of a uniform.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. I'm thinking stuff like that. And even before I hurt my back, I started working on some wrestling. We have a few guys with wrestling backgrounds on here.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get better at wrestling, not just the scramble, but head positions. And,
mm-hmm.
and when you hit the ground, how to turn your body, like wrestlers turn their body so well. They base on their shoulders and they, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Basic wrestling stuff. I don't have a wrestling background.
Yeah.
So that's a couple of things. Just, you know, working back escapes, mm-hmm. Back attacks and wrestler, some wrestling stuff.
Cool.
I wish I had done wrestling as a kid.
Yeah.
I just was never available for me. And now mm-hmm. as an adult, people come in and they're 20, 21. They wrestle for maybe 2 years. That's so much, you know, drilling yeah. that they've done that the common jiu-jitsu guy just hasn't if he doesn't have a wrestling mm-hmm. background. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, just a little offshoot here. Apparently, one of the guys that works for a subsidiary of my company, I met him when I had to go on this business trip a couple months ago. He was there as well, and he asked me, "Hey, do you wrestle?" And I was like, "No, I do jiu-jitsu." Why? And he's like, "Oh, you know, he saw one of my ears has some cauliflower on it." And I was like, "Oh no, why do you wrestle or do you fight or anything?" And he's like, "Oh, I wrestled in college." And I was like, "Oh, okay, where?" "Oh, Penn State." I mentioned it to Shad, our strength and conditioning coach in here, because he lives in the he knows a lot of the wrestlers. And I figured out this guy, I figured out his name, and I Googled him to see like, oh, maybe he wants to come in and train. I still haven't asked him yet. He was the number one high school recruit.
Oh, wow, nice.
Yeah.
Is he local to this area?
I don't know.
That'd be cool.
Oh, no. He was. I don't think he was. I don't think he went to high school in this area. But, yeah.
Does he live here now?
He lives here now. Okay. Yeah, he lives here now. He works across town from... He works in a different office.
Well, that'd be a good person to come in
yeah,
and
like,
train.
Holy shit. Like, that's legit. And Chad says, you know, he comes... He coached for a little while at one of the high schools and... like, I guess the kids saw him and were like, oh, I'm going to, you know, take this guy on. And it did not go well for those kids.
No.
It was like, you don't get that. You don't get the distinction of being number one college wrestling recruit in the country with that, without putting in some serious time.
And yeah, you're really good.
Mad skills.
You're very good.
Yeah, but that's just another that's pretty story. Cool. Yeah, he'd be great. I need to hit him up to see if he wants to come in, because that'd be a great addition. Like, if someone with that pedigree of grappling, like, yeah, I mean, that's essentially being a, I guess, you know, wrestling at that level, you're essentially a black belt in wrestling. Like, you know, that would be the equivalent for us of being a black belt, probably, because you, as long as he's done it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a wrestling coach in here a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I wasn't here when that guy was here. Well, I missed these classes when he was here.
No. I mean, the guy that we trained with, who started as a white belt, yeah. And he left because he had an injury.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, he's a football coach and wrestling coach.
Yeah.
And he was a legit wrestler. I mean, he taught me, like, two or three things that I use all the time with head control and a few things. It's like this, I can't think of the names, like the so-and-so grip. I mean, and, you know, I use it all the time. Yeah. So just to have guys come in here with a high level of wrestling, just show me a few more things, you know?
I would love to, just learn some of those basics, you know, the switch, you know, how to get a better, like, hip out.
Small tricks when you shoot in and you miss this shot, how to transition, stuff like
transition
that.
Transition to something else. Yeah, those are... There's a lot of value in that type of stuff because, I mean, some of it, you know, it's like, oh, you know, your other trading partner's never seen that, so they're not exactly prepared for it. But some of it's just good basics of grappling.
Right.
You know, you don't need a gi to do it or it's just something that you just need a little bit of timing or something. And some of those is explosiveness for sure. But, you want to talk about... Metamorphs?
Coming up, Metamorphs. The big
Metamorphs 5,
which is coming up pretty fast, considering that the between what 3 and 4 took a good while. Is this four?
Two and three. It's 5 according to Metamorphs. And who is on it? Sakuraba. And who was suggested by the Jiu-Jitsu Geeks in their podcast? Sakuraba.
Yeah,
things we'd like to see. So thank you, Halleck and Metamorphs crew, for listening to the podcast.
Which I assume they did.
Yes, I'm jumping to that conclusion from this poster.
Yeah. It's going to be good, man, because Henzo's got a score to settle with Sakuraba.
Yeah, he does.
You know, Sakuraba, I would say submitted him, but Henzo didn't tap.
Henzo didn't tap.
No, he didn't tap. He got his arm broke.
Yeah.
But he didn't tap.
Yeah.
And this is not an MMA fight. This is a strict grappling fight. Sakuraba's a tricky cat, man, and he's a legit grappler.
Yeah, he really is, and... Catch Wrestling's having a little bit of resurgence now with Josh Barnett and Dean Lister in the last Metamorphs. So that's cool. I'm looking forward to seeing that. Who else we got?
That's a question mark match for me because we know Henzo trains because you know he's a social media guy. He posts a lot of stuff with training.
Yeah.
You know, you see him out there doing stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know did he take 6 months off, a year off? What has he done? You know. What's his natural ability to just take a year or two off from really training hard and then go in and prepare? Yeah. You know, he's that question mark for me.
Yeah, I don't know. I will say the production value of their preview videos has really gone up, but I wish they would show more training.
Right.
Like the Sakuraba and Henzo thing, it was like Henzo in his house, like showing his, and really nice house. Looks, I mean, you see a lot of his medals and stuff. That's super cool, but I want to see some of him, you know. I want to see more of him training. If it's a 12-minute long video, show me 8 minutes of training and 4 minutes of
Henzo Gracie Cribs.
Yeah, of Cribs, Gracie edition, and Sakuraba like getting his spine realigned from when Big Nog spiked him or something like that. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that for sure. Who else we got on the card? Rory McDonald versus JT Torres.
That's gonna be a good one. Rory is a legit MMA fighter. He's number two or number one contender.
Yeah.
He trains at TriStar, so he's got the access to the best, you know, some of the best fighters.
Mm-hmm.
JT Torres is a jiu-jitsu phenom.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna take JT on that.
Are you really?
I'm gonna take JT on that. I mean, he's got, look at the crew he trains with, man.
Yeah.
Like that's just, I mean, if there's a winner, I think it will be JT.
Right.
I think. Yeah. I could see that very well easily going to no decision. I mean, MMA guys, I think they're good at identifying the most common submissions because they have to. That's part of their job. Kimura, right. Armbar, leg lock, stuff like that. And without a gi, you know, all these like baseball bats, Ezekiel chokes, stuff like that are not an option for JT.
You take out a lot of punches too, and you don't have to worry about getting punched.
Yeah.
A whole world of submissions and positions open up for you that JT Torres is going to be very familiar with and maybe Rory won't have the depth of knowledge on.
True. Yuri Simos versus Rafael Lovato Jr.
I'm just going to go with Lovato.
Yeah, I don't know who...
I know who Yuri is. Okay. I don't know. I haven't followed his career. Yeah. Lovato. Yeah, there we go.
All right. We got Dutch guy, Vinny Magalhaes, and Kevin Casey. Two guys that have matched with Keenan in the last two Metamorises. Metamori. Yeah, All I know about Kevin is what I saw on when he matched with Keenan on
an hour
and a half notice or whatever it is that they say.
Well, he's training with pretty good. Prone.
Yeah,
so he's got some good training partners.
Yeah, and he's a fit looking guy.
He's a fit looking dude.
Big dude. But Vinny's no joke, and he had Keenan. Did you watch their match?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, that heel hook he had Keenan in looked nasty.
Yeah,
it looked real nasty. I was like, Keenan needs to be careful playing with those. I'm sure he's in that type of position all the time. He knows his body, but I mean, it'd be a real shame to get your knee torn apart for a match like this at age 22 or however old he is.
Well, I tell you, the best part of Vinny fighting is that Hanato is gonna put out some. It's gonna be some funniness.
Yeah, for sure. Let's see. Let's wrap it up here. We got Gary Tonin versus Zach Maxwell, former podcast guest.
Yep.
Yeah. No offense, Zach. I'm going with Gary.
Yeah, I'm going with Gary.
He is. He is nasty. Yep. I love watching that guy. Role. He's a phenom too. And in every just an athletic phenom. And the secret match, which who knows what that could be. You know who I'd like to see back on?
Who's that?
Kyo Tara.
Oh, it'd be great.
Get him and his. Beautiful hair back on that show.
You love men with good hair.
I do.
You have a type.
Yeah, I do. It's guys with hair.
Good hair. You're trying to imitate them.
Yeah, I do.
You're out of your league.
Yeah, I'd love to see Kaya's match with Jeff Glover in the first Metamorphosis was probably one of my favorite grappling matches.
Right.
Yeah, that was very good. So, anyways, it's been a nice little chat.
Yeah, it has.
Yeah.
Next time we'll try to get Aaron out here.
Yeah, we got some good interviews tentatively scheduled. We got some people agreeing to come on the podcast. We just got to get off our butts and get these people scheduled and chat with them. It's nice having people like, oh, yeah, I'd love to come on. You know, we got some...
Don't throw out names.
Yeah,
Don't tease. Yeah, we got some good guys.
Yeah.
Some different people that are making a living in the jiu-jitsu community in different ways.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really cool. Anyway, hey man, thanks for recording. Thanks for your talk.
Yeah, you too. Good talk.
Yeah, good talk. High five.
High five. All right.
Thanks for listening. Until next time, I'm ET.
I'm Brian.
And we are the Jiu Jitsu Geeks. Two thirds.
Two thirds of us.